18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Once you find John 15, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Find John 15 and Matthew 11. Junior church kids can go. They're waving to me back there. So if you've got a child that's under 12, you want them to go to junior church down in the basement. You want to have a reprieve for a little while, then send them along. Matthew 11, John 15. I'm going to read from Matthew 11, verse 19 first, and then we'll go over to John. Some of you are looking at me funny, like, why isn't Brother Hardman preaching this morning? Well, he's preaching tonight. He preached at Sunday school. He's preaching tonight. He's preaching all week long, and already he gave us the foundation for the messages. You can see this is it right here for our learning out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And so he'll be preaching tonight. He's going to be starting this message, this series of messages throughout the week. I'm looking forward to it. We believe in the Word of God. We believe the Bible is our final authority in everything that we do. And this is going to give us help this week. This is going to give you help this week. It's going to give me help this week. And we appreciate the Hardmans and traveling and being with us here this week. And pray for them. Pray for Brother Don's health. Pray for Laura. And just bless them. Brother Don's doing good. He's gone through a lot physically. That's pretty much all I'll say, but he's gone through a lot. But God has been good to him. God's not done with him yet, or God would have taken him a long time ago. And that's the way it is with all of us. In Matthew 11 and verse 19, it says this, "The Son of Man," that's speaking of Jesus Christ, "came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children.'" You need to thank God that Jesus Christ is a friend of publicans and sinners. Every one of us in this room is a sinner. Some of us are saved sinners, and some are not. But we're all sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." Nobody. I'll go over to John chapter 15 and verse 13. John 15 and verse 13, the theme for today is Friend Day. So the theme of this message today, or the title of the message, is very simply, Friend. Friend. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15, 13 says. Verse 14, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Father, thank you that we could gather together today. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out. This morning, we thank you, Lord, again for those that have invited people to come. And, Lord, we're so grateful for those that have come. We pray that you bless the message. Use it, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. We pray, Lord, you know the hearts of everybody in this room. The only thing that we can see is the outward appearance, Lord, but you don't look upon the outward. You look upon the inward. So, Lord, you know our spiritual conditions. You know who's saved. You know who is not. Lord, you know who needs salvation today. So we ask that the Holy Spirit would work. Go up and down every row of chairs and prick every heart that's in this room. Lord, again, I pray for those that are not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd challenge and encourage those of us that are saved to live a life that would be more honoring and pleasing to you. Just bless this day. Bless Brother Hardman tonight and throughout this week as he preaches. Lord, we pray that you'd bless his dear wife, and we're so grateful and thankful that you brought him here to be with us another week. Lord, just use these services today and use them throughout the week, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for the book that you've given to us, the Word of God. We are honored and we are privileged today to have a copy of this blessed book, the Bible, that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your second coming. As we've already heard today, it could be today. We may be leaving this place today or in the very, very near future. We just don't know exactly how much longer we have on this planet, but things are taking place and going on that makes us look up and realize that our redemption is drawing nigh. Bless the message now and use it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Friend. Isn't it good to have a friend? Life is lonely without a friend. A small boy defined a friend as this: someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. Jackie Robinson, many of you know him, was the first black player to play Major League Baseball back in the late 40s. Breaking the baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium where he went. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, he committed an error. The fans began to ridicule him, his own fans from his own hometown. He stood there at second base, humiliated, while the fans just jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese, a white man, came over and stood next to him and put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Those two men became very, very close. They became very, very good friends, Pee Wee and Jackie Robinson. C.S. Lewis said this: friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." There's a lot of examples in the Bible of what a friend is not, and I'm not going to take the time to get into those. I wrote them down, but you can go through the Word of God and find out there's some good friends and there's some not so good friends. The Bible says Amnon had a friend, Jonadab. We read about that in 2 Samuel 13, and if you ever want to read what a bad friend is, you just read 2 Samuel 13, and you'll find out what Jonadab did to Amnon and caused him to sin a very, very gross, immoral sin. Job had three friends that came to him after Job suffered loss of everything, his wealth, his health, and everything. And Job's three friends took a week and finally came over to talk to Job, but the only thing they did throughout the week, instead of encouraging him and helping him, all they did was kind of put him down and said, "It's because of your sin, Job, that you're in all this trouble." Job could have done without those friends, I'm sure. I want you to think of the word friend. Just think of the word friend. And as you sit there today, and many of you are sitting next to a friend, do you know the husbands and wives are friends? You say, "Well, I didn't bring a friend to church." If you're sitting next to a spouse, you brought a friend. If you're sitting next to a child, you brought a friend. And maybe others came today because you were invited. I want to give you some thoughts on what a true friend is, a true friend. What is a real friend? Number one, a real friend forgives. Forgives. Forgives that person that you call a friend. Do you hold a grudge against that person that you call a friend? If you're holding grudges and bitterness towards somebody, you're not their friend. A true friend never holds a grudge. A true friend is never bitter. A true friend never has the attitude of, "I'm going to get even with him or her." That's not a true friend. A true friend even overlooks some things of their friends. Because real true love hides some things that sometimes we might feel at odds with somebody, but a true friend even overlooks those things. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 and 32. Every friend in this room, we need to live these verses. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You say, "But preacher, you don't understand what so-and-so did to me." No, maybe I don't. And maybe I'll never understand what somebody did to you. Agree or disagree, Jesus forgave you of all your sins. There's not a sin that Christ did not die for on the cross. Not one. You take the worst sin that you can think of that somebody can do, Jesus died for that sin. You take the worst person that you can think of, Jesus died for that person. Do you know that God loves you today? Do you know that Jesus loves every one of you in this room? Regardless of what your past is like, regardless of anything, what your present is like, regardless of what your future is going to be like. You know, He loves you, and He's always loved you, and He loved you so much He died for you. Remember that verse we just read a few minutes ago in verse 13 of John 15? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That verse is talking about Jesus Christ. He laid His life down for you. Somebody said this, "A friend is a person who does his knocking before he enters and not after he leaves." Think about that for a minute. You'll get that here in a minute. That's a true friend. True friend doesn't talk behind the back of somebody else. So what does a true friend do? A true friend forgives regardless of what the situation is. Just forgives. Just forgives. Secondly, a true friend rebukes when needed. Nobody really likes to get rebuked. But a true friend will do the rebuking when he or she needs to do it. A true friend will look at somebody and say, "You know, maybe this just isn't right. And you would be better off doing it this way instead of that way." A true friend will take a look at the situation and do everything that he or she can to try to help in that situation. And sometimes it takes a little rebuking to get that person to maybe see what they're talking about. Maybe you have a friend that's involved in something that he or she should not be involved in. A true good friend will look at that situation and just say, "Hey, come on, let's talk about this." And sit down and talk about what's going on in that person's life. A true friend does not want to see another person, a friend, get into trouble. A good friend will never lead somebody down the wrong road or the wrong path. Won't do it. A good friend won't. A fake friend might, but not a good friend. Proverbs has a lot to say about friendship. Go over to the book of Proverbs. We'll spend a few minutes over there looking at some of these verses. 27 and verse 6. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. A true friend, number one, does what? Remember the word, forgives. A true friend will always offer forgiveness. Secondly, a true friend rebukes when need be. Rebukes. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 6. 27:6, the Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Real friends will do a little rebuking when need be. Maybe, again, even something as simple as your friend knows that you've been out of church. A good friend will say, "Hey, come on, let's come to church with me. Let's go to church together. I'll sit with you. I'll go with you. You're my friend. I want to see you in church." A real friend will take somebody aside and say, "Come on, hey, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you spending some time, quality time with God every day?" A real friend sometimes has to come along and do a little rebuking. But again, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What kind of friend are you today? Do you forgive? Secondly, do you rebuke when you need to? I'm not saying you got to be pounding on that person all the time, constantly just, you know, ramming something down their throat. No, no, no. That's not how you do that. You're gentle and you do it with love. And you do it with faithfulness. But a true friend rebukes when needed. 27, in that same chapter, Proverbs. Here's the third thing. A true friend instructs. Instructs. Chapter 27 of Proverbs again, and look at verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty, say it, counsel. Hearty counsel. A true friend will instruct another friend and just give them some good counsel. That's what a friend does. They instruct. They provide that instruction. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And look at verse 13. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction. Good godly instruction is what we all need. Every one of us. I need it. I need godly instruction. I get it from the Word of God. I get it from other friends of mine that give me that instruction. I get it from evangelists. I get it from missionaries that come in here. I get it from people that I sit down and fellowship with and talk. That is the instruction that gives us the quality of life that we really need. A good friend will instruct and give guidance and counsel and direction when it's needed. Look at chapter 6, Proverbs 6 and verse 23. 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If you've got a good friend, he or she has given you some reproof or some rebuke in the past. Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't go there. The list could be a mile long. Don't smoke that. Don't drink that. Don't do that. Don't go to that place. Whatever. Don't hang around with this crowd. Right? I mean, that's what we do. We instruct. We try to help. We do whatever we can to try to give some instruction to those around us. A true friend has instruction that is mixed with love. Take some instruction, mix it with love, and what do you have? You got some direction in life to help. Not trying to hurt anybody. We're trying to help somebody. We're not trying to hurt somebody's feelings when we toss a little rebuke the way of a good friend. Look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs. We're still in Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know what that word brutish in the Bible means? Say it. Stupid. They said it, not me. Blame them. No, that's what it means. Literally, that's what the word brutish means. And so think about that. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You're not wise. You're ignorant. You're, say it, stupid. That's what the Bible teaches. You need to love that instruction. And just take it as counsel. Take it as rebuke. Take it as reproof. Take it as, hey, that person must care about me or else they wouldn't have said anything. You had a friend today. Listen to me, everybody. You had a friend today that cared so much about you, they invited you here today. And wanted to see you in church with them today. Somebody cares and loves you greatly. Number four. The fourth thing is a true friend endures and does not run away from a friend. A true friend endures and never runs away from a friend. A true friend is not a fly-by-night. I'll be your friend today when you give me 20 bucks, but tomorrow, forget it. There are people like that. There are people that will be your friend because you've got something that they want. And they'll be your friend until they get it from you. And once they get it from you, they're gone. That's not a friend. You might call them that, but that truly is not a friend. A true friend sticks with a person through thick and thin. Through the good times and through the bad times. When you disagree with them and when you agree with them. A true friend will be there all the time. All the time. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10. It would do us all good, every one of us here, to evaluate our friendship with somebody. And ask the question, is this friend of mine, is it somebody that I really care about and love and want to see do right? Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 10, it says this, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. That means your father, your dad's friends are good friends for you to hang around with and to be with. They've got more wisdom than you have. They're older than you. They know more than you. I know you don't like to hear that, but there are people that know more than you today. And so a true friend endures and does not run away from a real friend. Two men were out hunting in the northern U.S. Suddenly one yelled and the other looked up to see a grizzly charging them. The first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes and his friend was saying, what are you doing? You know you can't outrun a grizzly bear. He said, I don't have to outrun the grizzly, I just have to outrun you. I don't know if that's a good friend. A good friend would stand there and take it, right? Benjamin Franklin said this, be slow in choosing a friend and slower in changing one. I think that's good advice. Be slow in choosing a friend and slower in changing one. Number five, a true friend is nearby. A true friend is nearby. A true friend sees the needs of their friend and tries to meet that need. They may not be able to meet every need. They may not be able to take care of everything that's financially needed and all, but a true friend sees the need of somebody and does what they can to try to help that person out, right? Is that what you do with your friends? Amen. You see that need and you attempt to do something with that. A true friend is always nearby. That's what a true friend is. You know, in today's day and age, we have our technology today. We have our smartphones, or we have phones that maybe aren't as smart as some phones. Today, our phones are smarter than we are. But we can text somebody and just give an encouraging word. Amen? Just thinking of you today or praying for you today. Want you to know if you have any needs, let me know. You have a prayer request, send it my way. Whatever. I mean, you could text anything that's encouraging. We have today emails and we have cell phones and we have all kinds of means of communicating today. But isn't it sad that so many people don't even know how to communicate with people today? I mean, people know how to communicate. Kids know how to communicate. I think they're born with a cell phone in their hand. They know how to operate that thing more than I do. There'll be a child sitting over here and a child sitting over here, and I'm exaggerating, but that's how they talk to one another. They don't know how to communicate verbally. All they know how to do is just do this and text something to somebody. I'm not saying that's always wrong, but you know, it's good to talk to somebody. I know today we have, you know, the ability to do that, but so many times we'll just, Rich and I did it recently, instead of texting back and forth, hey, I'll call them. And we talk. You can hear the inflection in their voice. You know where they're going. You can tell if somebody is sad. It's difficult. I know you got an emoji for everything now. Good night. I will say, this may gross you out, but when I heard there was an emoji for poop, I said, you've got to be kidding me. There's an emoji for that? Sure enough, it's got two eyeballs on it and it talks. It's like, what is going on here in the world today? We have to have an emoji for everything. But you know, it's good just to talk to the person. A short text here and there, I don't mind a short text. But if we're going to talk about something, we need to talk. Let me call you. We do this often. Hey, got a minute? Can I call you? I called him yesterday without even asking him. I didn't text him. I didn't warn him ahead of time. I didn't text him ahead of time. I just called him. You forgive me, right? All right, good. All right. We're friends. We've been friends for a long time. But a true friend is nearby. A true friend you can call anytime, day or night, and they should answer the phone. A true friend can send you a text if that's the way you want to do it, and a true friend will get back to you just as soon as they can. A true friend is nearby. A true friend is close. A true friend knows what's going on in our life. They don't have to know everything. But a true friend sees the needs of others. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, many times we say, well, that's talking about Jesus Christ. I agree. But to have a good friend that is another human being that is there, that you can call, you can text, you can get a hold of any time, day or night. If they're there when you need them, that's a good friend. That's a good friend. A true friend is always nearby. 27:17. Isn't it amazing how much Proverbs has to say about friends? Proverbs 27 has a lot of verses that deals with friendship. 27 and verse 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You look at your friend and you see your friend is maybe saddened or just doesn't look like he or she should look like or doesn't come across to you as the way they normally do. Well, iron sharpeneth iron. You can take a look at that countenance and you can try to encourage and try to cheer up, try to help that person that maybe looks a little down and discouraged. And don't sit there and say, oh, I never get down or discouraged. We all do. Every one of us do. I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are. We all get a little down, a little discouraged once in a while. Right? Sometimes seems like maybe some people more than others, but we all get down and discouraged. But that's where a friend will step in, a true friend, a good friend is nearby, and they'll jump right in and do everything they can to try to help. Ecclesiastes. We'll just jump out of Proverbs for a minute and go over to Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so again, we see that a true friend is nearby. A true friend will always be there to help. If you have somebody like that in your life, you ought to thank God for that person. You say, oh, I only got one friend. Thank God for that one friend. If that's all you got, thank God for it. And I'll give you one other. There's another one that's a true friend, and that's Jesus Christ. So if you've got one friend, you really have two friends. Around the corner, I have a friend. In this great city that has no end, yet days go by and weeks rush on, and before I knew it, the year had gone. And I never see my old friend's face, for life is a swift and terrible race. He knows I like him just as well as in the days when I would ring his bell. And he rang mine. We were younger then. Now we are busy, tired men, tired with playing a foolish game, tired with trying to make a name. Tomorrow, I say, I will call on Jim just to show that I'm thinking of him. But tomorrow comes and tomorrow goes, and the distance between us grows and grows. Around the corner, yet miles away, here's a telegram, sir. Jim died today. And that's what we get and deserve in the end, around the corner, a vanished friend. How many times have we regretted that we didn't say something to somebody and that friend of ours, that person was gone? When's the last time you told your friend you loved him? Well, guys don't tell guys they love one another. Who says? Who says they don't? Guys can say, I love you, to another guy. Might feel a little weird at first. I love you. Well, I love you too. Whew, okay. Isn't that anti-Bible? Isn't that anti-God? No, it's not. It's not. I hear ladies doing it all the time. Kathy, you know, calls somebody, I love you too, you know, click, hang on. And it's natural, it's normal for the ladies to do that. There's nothing weird there. But us guys hardly ever say it to one another. That's sad. We ought to tell somebody we love them. We ought to be able to say to another man friend of ours, hey, I love you, brother. I love you too. You can say it rough and you can, hey, I love you, brother. I love you too. You can do that, you know. That might make you feel a little bit better. All right? But let's do that once in a while. Hey, Rich, I love you, you know. But a true friend is nearby. And then lastly, number six, a true friend declares the truth. A true friend will always declare the truth. The truth of the gospel. I'm going to say something right now that maybe those of you that if this is the first time you've ever been here before, and we have a lot of first-time visitors here today. You had somebody that invited you here for a purpose, for a reason. They wanted you to come and hear a message from the Word of God. They wanted to sit by you, yes, and they wanted you in church with them, but they wanted you to come and hear a message from God's Word. That's why they invited you. Not just to have you sit next to them in church, but to hear something from the Word of God. And that is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is his death, his burial, his resurrection. There is no greater friend in the universe than Jesus Christ to you and me. There isn't one. There isn't one. You might have your bestie friend, you know, best friends for a BFF. When they do that? Best friends forever. You might have a BFF. But there's one greater than the BFF of yours. Jesus Christ. Because he did lay his life down for you. Remember the verse, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When Christ was hanging on the cross dying, he was looking at you and me way back 2,000 years ago, and he's looking at his friends. He was counting all of us as a friend, every one of us. Friend, he's dying for us, dying for me, dying for you. A true friend declares the truth. A true friend will look at a true friend in the eyes and tell him the truth and not lie to him. true friend will declare the gospel. The true friend will declare the word of God. The true friend will invite the church because there's a message that they want you to hear. It's not just to meet me or somebody else. There's a message here that needs to be given. We're all sinners. You know that, right? If you haven't figured that out yet, you're too young or you're too old or something. Something's going on there. We all know that we're sinners. You've done something. You've thought something. Just our thought process is enough to doom us to hell. The words that people say, the language that people use today is incredible. The neglect from the Word of God and is just, listen, we're all sinners. You say, well, I haven't done anything that bad. No. No, you haven't done anything that bad. But you did something bad somewhere in your past, somewhere in your life. You lied, probably. We're all adults here. I'm sure that we all disobeyed our mother or father at least once in our bringing up. Huh? I was one of those teenagers once. I know how I acted. Got a bunch of my kids here in the room, and we know how they acted. Ain't nobody in this room more sinners than they are. Now, we're all sinners the same. You don't count your sin, but you don't say that you're a sinner based upon how many sins you've committed. You don't say that, well, those over in Auburn Correctional or Five Points or Monroe County Jail or Cayuga County or Seneca County Jail, they're worse than we are. No, they're really no worse. They just got caught. That's the truth. They got caught. They broke the law and they got caught. Probably most of us broke the law somewhere in our life. If you go 1 mile an hour over the speed limit, you broke the law. How many of us? Every day. You get on the thruway and I can travel 5, 6, 10, between 5 and 10 miles over the speed limit and not get caught. Okay, good for you. Well, you still broke the law. I know where those troopers sit, and so I know exactly how fast I can go and when to slow down. I know where they sit sometimes too. But there'll come a time where you won't realize where they're sitting and you'll get caught. Some of you got a ticket recently. How many of you got a ticket recently? No, never mind. Yeah, some of you. Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, there's some others in this room that got a ticket recently. Well, you broke the law. You got a ticket. You break a lot of laws, you're going to get a bunch of tickets, and you'll end up in one of those places I mentioned a few minutes ago. But, folks, we're all sinners. All sinners. Every one of us. We've done something that disobeyed God's word. Told a lie. Just coveting after something. Oh, I wish I could have that. They got that new car, that new truck, that new boat, that new RV, that new motorcycle, that new whatever. Boy, I wish I could have one of those. And you're just thinking about it. That's coveting. And we're not to do that. I told you to think about the word friend. If you paid attention to the words that I gave you, it spells friend. A true friend forgives. A true friend rebukes. A true friend instructs. A true friend endures. A true friend is nearby. And a true friend declares the truth. That's what a friend is. That's a good friend. You ought to thank God you got the best friend in the universe. That's Jesus Christ. You're saved. You ought to thank God you're saved. If you're not saved, you ought to thank God you're here so you can get saved. Again, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, figure this one out. Here, 2,000 years ago, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nailed to the cross, thinking about the past, present, and future, had me in his mind. Had me in his focus when he was hanging on the cross. Had you in his mind. In focus also. Jesus Christ can save your soul today if you're not saved. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a might be saved, you ought to be saved, it's thou shalt be saved. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Was there a time, a specific time in your life that you called upon Christ to save your sins, to save you? Did you repent and did you ask Jesus to save you? If there was never that time in your life, then today could be that time. Today could be that day when you call upon Jesus Christ to save your soul. He's the greatest friend. I'm so glad he's my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Rich, come to the piano. Well, let's sing that song again for our invitation. We're going to have an invitation. Many of you are new here today. You don't know what we do, but what we do is we just have a time in which we're going to sing a song from the hymn book, 355. We're going to stand.